13. My love, any other announcements? All right. 13 and 1. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, and it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister, Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. And Amnon had a friend, but Amnon had a friend, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. Father, we pray you had a blessing to the reading and the hearing of your most holy word. I pray that I would decrease and you would increase and that you would deal with all of us, God, Christians, Hebrews, everybody in this place, men, women, and children, God, just deal with us all, God, so that we can be better people, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory, amen. All right. Saints of God, we observe how Amnon in 2 Kings could not do anything to Tamar. In biblical times, amen, if you remember, the daughters were watched closely, and they were not allowed to keep company with men or with boys. Amen. We talked about how we need to take care of our girls, and in the day we live in, we need to go ahead and take care of our boys as well, because we're living in some trying times, amen, especially when it talks about abuse and taking advantage of children. But if you remember, because of the safety mechanisms put in place by the Hebrews, amen, Amnon's lust for his half-sister Tamar was about over. The matter was concluded. Lust was put in check. But the Bible says, but Amnon had a friend, you see. And we talked about friends for a few weeks and just talked about the dangers of having the wrong kind of friend. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, be not deceived. Evil communications does what? Corrupt good manners. And that tells us, amen, that a little leaven leavens the whole lump and one bad apple can spoil the bunch. And it's truth, the Bible speaks it. We talked about how we're prone to corruption, how none of us, amen, are immune to just negativity in our ears or being around somebody who's a pollutant, amen. We talked about people who corrupt us, the type of people that we should look for and stay away from. We talked about virtual corruption in the day and age we live with technology. You don't even have to be in the same physical company with somebody to be corrupted by them with phones and text messages and emails and chat rooms and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and everything else that they have. Amen. Hallelujah. We talked about the proof of corruption, how you could know when you've been corrupted, because a lot of the times we're not even cognizant, amen, when somebody puts poison on us, venom in us, amen. We also talked about the protocols, the procedures for dealing with corruption. Should we just stay in it, and how should we, amen, mitigate the damages, amen. How do we go about getting those friends out of our lives, amen, or weaning ourselves off of their company slowly, hallelujah, so that we can not be corrupted, hallelujah, by their company. And tonight we're going to continue in chapter 13, and I want to focus on verse 3, amen. And the title of this message is going to be The Son of Shimea. The Son of Shimea. Somebody say, the son of Shimea. And some of y'all saying, I know that girl Shemitra, amen. Sound like our names, not Shimea, amen. Hallelujah. All right, we'll have 3 points, amen. And the 3 points will probably be over the duration of a week or two or three weeks, amen. The first point is the son of Shimea. The second point, a very subtle man. And the third point, why aren't you being the king's son? Why aren't you being the king's son? And so that's like our 3 points. We're not going to cover them today. We'll cover point number one. But I just want to show it to you so that you can know that I'm being true to expositive preaching and know that I'm moving through the text. It just happens to be that my points, amen, take longer than some other people's points, amen. And that's just the way it is. Amen. If we was in the Puritan days, I'd be able to preach 3 hours. We'd get through the whole thing. Amen. But we not in the Puritan days. And y'all got to work in the morning. So listen, let's begin. We'll talk about the son of Shimeah. And we'll split this first point into 3 subpoints. And so we'll kind of talk about that. The Bible says in verse 3, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. What we have here, amen, is that the Bible is telling us the relationship between Amnon and Jonadab. It says Jonadab was the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Shimeah was Jonadab's father. And Jonadab's father, Shimeah, was a sibling of David. He was the brother of David. That makes David Jonadab's uncle. That makes Amnon and Jonadab, what? First cousins. That's what, y'all in it now? Y'all in it, baby? All right. So, yeah, they first cousins. And right off the bat, listen, remember when we talk about, amen, friends and evil communication and corrupting good manners, don't just think outside of the family structure now. All right, this was his cousin. This was his cousin. And you got some people in your family that you need to stay away from, saints. All right? All right? I just want to throw that in. I don't know who that's for. I'm just throwing it in. All right? Hallelujah. The Lord began to reveal to me that Jonadab was close to power. He was close to royalty. He was close to fame in Israel. Close to money and prosperity in Israel. He was close to prestige. He was close to the king. You see? But the problem was that Jonadab was close to all of this, but he wasn't there yet. Anybody hear me so far? He was not the king's son. Therefore, he was not royalty. He didn't have the prestigious family line. And he didn't have the money to go with it. In fact, it was one decision that kept Jonadab out of power, out of prestige, and out of royalty. He was so close, y'all. One decision kept him out of it. And that decision, amen, was in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. The Bible tells us, and the Lord said unto Samuel, remember this? How long wilt thou mourn for Saul when Saul messed up? Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to who? To Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king. Among who? Among his sons. Wait. Among his sons. That's close to Jonadab, y'all. So God just told Samuel, listen, one of the sons of Jesse is going to be my king. Well, who the sons of Jesse? Well, you got Eliab, you got Abinadab, you got David, and you got Shimeah. And the Bible said he might have had some other ones. He might have had 4, 5, 6, 7 other ones. Jesse was busy. I'm just saying. All right. But when Samuel went to Jesse's house, Shimeah could have been the king. And Jonadab would have been the prince, the heir apparent, the next king of Israel. He was so close, y'all. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 16:6, and it came to pass when they will come, Samuel, that he looked on Eliab. And Eliab was a big old brother. Make his chest jump twice on both sides. His chest could do the wave like an audience. And when Samuel saw him, amen, Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. You see what I'm saying? But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, Don't look on how he looked now. You see? On the height of his stature. Don't look at how tall he is. Because I have refused them. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Woo, my God. Anybody happy God looks at the heart? He don't look at the outward appearance. That's not what he's looking for. You see? That's how they chose the first king, Saul. He was taller than everybody else. You see, but God was going to do a new thing. He was going to show them what he really wanted. You see, Saul was who y'all picked. He goes on, amen. The Bible says, hallelujah, hallelujah, moving forward. The Bible says, then Jesse in verse 8 called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither had the Lord chosen this. Verse 9. Then Jesse made Shammah. Now, in 2 Samuel, the Shammah is translated into Shemiah. You know what I'm saying? It's the same person. So Shemiah, Jonadab's daddy, is brought before Samuel, got the opportunity to change his whole lineage. His wife's situation, his children's situation, and here he comes. He's passing before Samuel. Amen. And they make him pass before him, and look what happens in verse 9. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And look what it says. And he said, neither had the Lord chosen this. He was so close. So close to being the king. So close to being royalty. So close to being famous. You see? One decision away. You see? You see, sometimes when you get that close, it do something to your heart. It do something to your heart. You go to bed at night thinking about it. Ah. If Samuel would have just ate something different the night before. You see? And a lot of the Bible commentators, several of them, say this about Jonadab. His proximity to greatness without being great produced an envy in him, a jealousy in him, or almost there but not quite there. I'm never, you know what I'm saying? Now, it don't do that to everybody. No. Because some people are happy where they at. Some people just happy to know the king. You all right? You know what I'm saying? Well, you would be happy, okay, just to have a king as a cousin. You see what I'm saying? Most of us would be, but not everybody like that. Some person don't want to know the man. Some person want to be the man. Ooh. Shemiah, you see? And so tonight, listen, I want to talk with you about envy tonight. I want to talk with you about envy tonight. I couldn't get away from it. It stayed on me. You know, when you try to move on, okay, Lord, I see envy in it, but what else? Let me see something else. Okay, I see envy again, Lord. Okay, I see. That's all I see, Lord. Then you know what I'm saying? You want to talk about envy? I don't know why. You know? Pastor, what is envy? Envy is kind of like jealousy. But a little bit stronger, a little bit deeper, a little bit more malicious, you see? Envy, when we look at the Greek and the Hebrew variations of the word, it is a pain that is felt at the sight of someone else being blessed. Ooh! When somebody gets something, it's like something hurt on the inside of you. Talking about envy. And listen. It could be anybody around you that get blessed you. I done seen mamas envious of daughters and daddies envious of sons. I done seen spouses envious of one another. Pastors envious of congregations and congregations envious of pastors. Oh no, envy not prejudice. Is that pain you feel when somebody else is blessed? Is the happiness of somebody else that get to you? It's the excellence of somebody else's life that gets to you. You see? It is a disdain that is felt towards another because he or she has something that you would like or has a quality in their life that you would like to operate in. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Now listen, before we trip up in here, let's just understand something and get something right quick, right fast, clear, all right? Ain't none of us in here, no matter how the flesh and the devil try to lie to you, not a single one of us have gone throughout life and not felt envy. Not a single one of us. So as we go through this, don't you try to play the, I ain't never been. You don't know yourself. You don't know yourself. Because I could show you some places. I could take you some. I could bring you back to some dates when I saw the envy on you. We all done had it. You see? But it's what we do with it when after we get it. That's the issue. That's the issue. Whether we shake it off or stew in it. That's the issue. Jonadab stewed in it. And you'll be able to see it because of his actions towards David's family and Amnon. After Amnon is murdered, it's like he don't even care. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. Envy hates. You see? If it's unchecked. You see? Envy flows from a lack of contentment in our own lives. It's when we're not satisfied of what we have and where we at right now. That's when we're in a dangerous place. And the Bible tells us, be content with those things which you have. For I have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what the Bible says. If I don't have nothing, I got Jesus and I got enough. You with me so far? That's what Hebrews was saying when it was talking about that. You know what I'm saying? But this thing runs so deep, y'all. Please give me a little time to develop it. You see? Envy can also flow from an inferiority complex. Some of us, it's not about contentment, but it's about an inferiority within ourselves. We watch people do great things and we feel in ourselves, we'll never admit it, but in ourselves we feel, oh, I could never do that. I could never have that. And though we talk Christianese real well, and we quote all of the scriptures about faith and all about what we could have, but in the heart of hearts, we talk it, but we don't walk it. And in the heart of hearts, we say to ourselves, I'll never get one like that. And so we feel a pain when we see somebody get it. And we're like, man, they got one. It's envy. And we're going to talk about the remedies and how to cure that. Because listen, let me tell you something, man. We don't want that in our people and we don't want that in this church. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. The things that we envious of, let me just kind of throw out a few things so that we can kind of let the Spirit jog our memory and show us where we've been envious in times past. And as the Holy Spirit ministers, don't fight him. Let him show you. Let him show you who you've been envious of and the things. Let him show you. Listen, don't be ashamed of it. You be big boys and big girls up in here. Because if you're ashamed of it, we can't fix it. Amen. But if we admit our faults one to another, hey, confess our faults, then we shall be healed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Let's just kind of talk about it. So somebody get a new house. Amen. And they got a big old brand new house, right? Big old pool in it, man. You know what I'm saying? Over 3,000 square feet. And we still in our starter home. You know what I'm saying? And I mean that literally because the home that we got started up in the drive off. We in our starter home. You know? All right? No pun intended. But listen. But we watch that brother or that sister get blessed. You know? You know, every now and then a little feeling going to come. Let's be real about it. You know? And you got to shake that thing off, man. You got to shake that thing off. You know? You walk up in there, they tell you that you got a house. You don't even say nothing. You act like you ain't heard it. You don't want to go over there. You used to go over there when they was living in the shotgun. You used to go over there every night. They get the new house. Well, nah, we ain't got time no more. We just, what? You know? Yeah. So how's this? Somebody get a brand new car. You know? They get them that little two-seater you've been wanting. That little Camaro, that little Dodge. Or they bust out with that SUV you want, that Cadillac Escalade. You see? And there you go, you see that and it hurts you. And you walk right out by that car and you don't see it. Don't even look. You keep your head straight, look. They call your name. Hey! Oh, hey, I didn't see you there. What's up with that? You know? Or somebody clothes, you know? When they dress real nice at church and stuff like that. Or they dress nice on the job, you know? A lot of times that can make us feel some kind of way. And a lot of times, amen, in particular with women, women don't even know sometimes when they're being envious, you know? And men don't know either. Let me just pick on the women for a second, all right? And so we don't like somebody for no reason. Homegirl just don't like you because you take care of yourself. You do your hair, you know what I'm saying? You try to dress yourself clean. It's been my impression sometimes that the women of excellence that take care of themselves and really care about themselves be the ones that other women don't like most of the time. And I don't understand that. But we're going to get to it in a second. You know, that's that hater. That's that envy. And it's been instilled in us, but we're going to uninstill it tonight in the name of Jesus. All right? All right? Yeah, we're going to be happy for one another. You with me? When you see her walk in, you say, go, girl. Get it. Get it. Get it. Get it. You play her some music on your phone when she walk in. I'm behind you. You don't roll your eyes and say, oh, she thinks she's something. I don't like her. For what? Because she look good? Because she care about herself? Because she exercising? You know? You see, we're going to get to her. Because she doing the things that you refuse to do. Now you don't like her. Oh, look. Somebody talking about what y'all talking about over there. You see? Oh, yeah, they look at everything. They don't look at hair. They look at fingernails. They look at shoes. You ever watch women watch each other? You ever saw that? You ever saw that quick look? They walk in, they go. It's like the little copy machine thing, you know? Fellas, I'm going to try to break it down. You know the copy machine light? You know we like to look at it to make sure what's going on under that. So it's like the. And it's quick. It's like, you know, I'm talking about, look, then got the price, the color, where she bought it at, what if it was on sale? I got to move on. Y'all playing around, man. Why we like that, man? Everything from fingernails to eyelashes to shoes. Somebody get a new phone, we hate it. Computer, a watch, a four-wheeler, a golf cart. For the men, it's the gadgets, the boats and stuff, the trucks and stuff, motorcycles and stuff. Men get envious over toys, you know. But it's not only the things we have we get envious over. We get envious over the people in another person's life. Maybe they got the husband that you thought you should have. Or maybe you don't have a husband yet, you know? Or maybe they got a wife and you don't have a wife yet. And maybe that wife look good or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And you sitting on that tripping, you know? Now, I ain't asked you to marry the one you had. Were you married? You married her. What's wrong with y'all tonight, man? That's Danny. Yeah, Danny got us cutting up in here. Wife, you know, kids, and that's a hard thing now because we done went through times where we couldn't have kids. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to show you some things in the scripture and stuff that hurts, man. You know, somebody, parents, you might not have had the greatest parental, you know, support system. And we can be envious of that. You can be envious of somebody's position on the job, their position at church. There's envy over giftings. There's envy in the church, spiritual envy. If somebody anointed, if somebody got a calling, if somebody given leadership, we're going to look at all of that in the scriptures. If somebody can sing or preach or teach, there's envy within the body. Amen. And it's a cancer. It's a terrible disease that can eat at a ministry. But we're gonna put an antiseptic on it tonight, though. We're gonna put the word on it tonight. The healing balm of Gilead, amen. Yeah. That's spiritual envy, man. And I'm telling you that there's cuisine envy as well, too. Because somebody cook better than somebody else. They ain't going to eat the other person's food. They're going to spit it out. And you probably, it ain't good. You'd be surprised the things we jealous of one another over. And ain't nobody excluded from it, no. I'm about to show you. Let me give you some examples of envy. Y'all still up out there? Y'all still up? Let me give you some examples of it. Because that's what Jonadab's problem was. Yeah. He was envious, man. He was envious. He thought he should have had it. You know? Thought he should have had it. In a lot of ways, he was better than Amnon. And we'll see it next time. He's more wise and everything. He had almost like Solomon-like wisdom. You know? We'll see it next time. And it's easy to be envious, especially, amen, if you see somebody that you perceive to be less than you, more blessed than you. Woo! That's when the rubber really hit the road. Let's talk about some examples of envy throughout the scriptures, and let's see if we can kind of just flesh out some things. The first one that I saw was Cain and Abel, you see. In Genesis chapter 4, amen, Abel offered a better offering than him. And it was a spiritual jealousy because God had accepted the offering of Abel, amen, and had favored Abel, amen. And Cain saw that and he was wroth and he was upset and he slew his brother. And the Bible says in 1 John 3:12, it kind of summarizes it perfectly. The Bible says that we should not be as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. He looked at their two lives and he was jealous of his brother's life. He was envious of his relationship with God and his favor with God. And God told Cain right off the bat, listen, you if you do what's right, you're going to be accepted just like him. I'm no respecter of persons. Anything one got, the other one can get. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's there for the taking. Rachel and Leah is another example. In Genesis chapter 30, Rachel and Leah are sisters, but they're involved in a polygamous relationship with Jacob thereof because of the trickery of their father Laban. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 30, verse 1, and when Rachel saw that she bare no children, she couldn't have children. The Bible tells us clearly, and Rachel did what? Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Yeah. It could be over children and it could be sisters and brothers envying each other to the point where they hate one another. Some of y'all in families like that. Some of y'all in families where your sister or your brother, they jealous of you. They envy you. They look at your life. Amen. And your trip into Christ, amen, and the blessings that Christ putting upon you only exasperates, amen, the envy, amen, that they have for you. Amen. And you need to be cognizant of that. You need to understand, amen, who loves you and who's envious of you. Amen. Who may have something in their heart but fighting it, and who have something in their heart and love to be envious. That's where Jonadab was. You see, because if you got a Jonadab in your life, woo, they're going to hurt you in the long run. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about the person that feels some kind of way, but fight it off and know right from wrong. Listen, we all got thoughts, amen? But it's what you do with the thoughts. Jonadab didn't. He loved to be where he was. My prayer for you tonight is that you would not love to hate. You with me so far? That you would not love to hate. That when you find yourself in that place, you would be able to identify it, and you'd be able to, amen, rebuke yourself. You understand what I'm saying? And encourage yourself in the Lord. We're going to try to give you some tools like that. Amen? So Rachel and Leah, that's the problem that they have. And God gave me another revelation as I looked at this. He said, son, just don't look at the fact that Leah gave birth to a physical child. Look at the fact that she was fruitful. Because you're going to have some people in your life that's more fruitful than you. And it's not just about bringing, amen, seed into the planet or seed on the earth. They're more fruitful than you in their marriage relationship. They're more fruitful on the job. They're more fruitful in the business that they own. They're more fruitful in ministry. They're more fruitful in preaching and teaching. They're more fruitful in singing. When they pick it up and do it, they got an anointing that's greater than yours, and they're more fruitful than you. That's Leah and Rachel. And we got to be in a place, saints, where we could be around somebody more fruitful than us and be all right with it. Woo! And we're going to talk about that. I'm going to give you some examples. That has happened to me before. Oh, yeah, when we travel and stuff like that, go around these mega churches, and that has happened to me before. Because we think Philly fruitful, and we look at the altar, we like Philly fruitful. But listen, listen, listen. In every place you go in life, you're not going to be number one. No. All right? All right? And let me tell you, you got to learn how to teach your kids that. Because your kids, amen, especially in Christian households, we take that the head and not the tail. We take that to mean the head over every single person. There's going to be some people more blessed than you. Some people more fruitful than you. We go out of town, Aisha, and they got some ministry walking, man. I'm talking about 8,000 members. We done walked in some 30,000 members. You got to take a bus. Take a bus to get to church. You understand what I'm saying? I'm like, man, what time the bus passing? It's like the city bus here. But we walk in. And I tell my girls all the time, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to go ahead and say it now. I tell my girls all the time, listen, there's a pastor like daddy, but he bigger than daddy. He more anointed than daddy. Amen. It's not to say that he gonna always be more anointed than daddy. All right. You know what I'm saying. But even if I'm all right with that, you got to be all right with that. You got to be all right with saying that a greater than me is. Oh God. You got to have that John the Baptist anointing. You got to have that type of heart. You're not gonna be the greatest everywhere you go. You're not going to have the best. It's not going to happen. And God's going to send somebody greater than you to test you, to see where you're at, to let you see the envy that's in your own heart. So they pull up and you, and God's saying, that's it right there. And that's what's stopping you from being blessed. Come on, give God some glory. Let me work here. Joseph and his brothers, another example of envy. The Bible tells us, amen, in Genesis 37:11, the Bible says, and his brethren, they did what? They envied him. You see, because Joseph was having all kind of dreams, man. Dreams that they was going to be bowing down to him and stuff. Now, when we read this, you got to understand, and we're going to break it down a little bit, but they were jealous of Joseph before the manifestation of the vision. They were just jealous of the vision he had. There's going to be some people, you share your vision of what God done revealed to you, what you're going to be and what you want to do. They're going to be jealous of just your vision. You know what I'm saying? Just envious, just mad at you. Oh, he think he all that. Just jealous of your vision. You know, that's why you got to know who you could talk to and who you can't talk to. That's why you got to know who you need to share vision with and who you refrain from sharing vision with. Because you don't want to make nobody stumble. He just shared the vision. Now, after he shared a vision and began to operate in it, the favor began to come. He got the coat of many colors. He the administrator of the family. He going to check on the boys, make sure them boys all right. And he go check on them and check them. And the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, just describing this story, it talks about his brethren and what they did. And the patriarchs, that's his brethren, his brothers, they moved with what? With envy. What did they do? What did envy cause them to do? They sold Joseph into Egypt. They sold him into slavery because of envy. Sound like us, huh? In Africa, huh? Sold Joseph into Egypt. But let me tell you something. They can hate you and they can be jealous. But look what the rest of that verse say. But God was with him. You with me so far? Woo! God was with him. You see? Yeah. Moses went through some envy. The Bible talks about the rebellion of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. You know what I'm saying? And we won't go too deep into it. Amen. We're going to keep on moving. But they envied Moses. They was asking Moses, like, you the only one that God speak to? And you this and you that. You think you all that? We all holding Moses. And God said, all right, y'all all. You open up the ground. Swallow them up. Y'all gonna hear more about that. Jesus and the Pharisee is an example of envy. You see? The major thing they crucified Jesus for was because they were jealous of him. Matthew 27:17, therefore they were gathered together, and Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. Remember, Pilate didn't want to crucify him. Pilate was like, I won't let him go. And the Bible says in verse 18, amen, he had this offer to release Barabbas, who he was sure that they would not call for Barabbas. He was a murderer, a robber, a thief, a seditionist. He committed rebellion. The worst of the worst men. Pilate was sure that they was going to say, all right, give us Jesus. So Pilate gave the offer. And look in verse 18. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. So saints, these are some of the examples of envy. And one of the main reasons I felt compelled to talk about it tonight, amen, is because our people, the Hebrews, have a tremendous problem with envy. A tremendous problem with envy. I'm talking about black people. We got a tremendous problem with envy that's been sown in us, and it's to the core. And we got to get it out. We got to get it out in the mighty name of Jesus. The envy that we have in us was strategically placed by the devil to stop us from becoming one. Because when a people become one, nothing will be impossible for them. You understand what I'm saying? So the devil used wicked men. You see, this is not a racial thing. This is a right-wrong thing. He used wicked men, amen, during the times of slavery to instill in us a crab-like mentality to pull one another down. A love for all of us to be down more than a love for some of us to be up. We would rather us all be down than a few of us up. Other races not like that, no. I'm telling you, it's only black that eat black. Come on now. Ooh. Listen. There's something called the Willie Lynch letter. And Willie Lynch came, amen, to America, and he had a system on how to get the slaves, the Hebrews, to cooperate. You see, in the South, they was lynching and hanging way too many of us. And they was leaving us out, amen, as an example, amen. And they were thinking that the corpses would be example enough to stop us from acting out. Willie Lynch came, he said, man, he said, y'all wasting y'all money. y'all buying these Hebrews, y'all buying these slaves, and now y'all killing them? He said, nah. He said, let me show you a better way on how to manage the blacks, the slaves. Look, I'm going to read some of it. Let me try to go as fast as I can. Willie Lynch said this. He said, in my bag here, I have a foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 300 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or any overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among the slaves, and I take these differences and make them bigger. The differences like hair texture, light, dark, house Negro, field Negro, tall Negro, short Negro, slim Negro, big Negro. Willie Lynch said he took all the differences, any differences that he could find amongst the Negroes and the slaves, and he made them big. He said, I use fear, distrust, anybody see it, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on, and it will become self-refueling, self-regenerating, meaning that if we put it in this generation, it's going to continue by itself. We ain't going to have to keep teaching the envy. We ain't going to have to keep teaching the distrust. It's going to be self-generate, like a generational type of curse type of thing. Yeah. Oh, my people, listen to me. You see? And listen, let me tell you something. The good white folk don't want us to act like this no more. Because this is why we killing each other. This is why it's all kind of stuff on the street. This is why we can't be effective in raising our families. And that's why we got gangbangs. Listen, the good Christian Europeans, they don't want us to be like this. It's time for us to get up, though. Time for us to get up. I told you all the time, Chris Kopp, Pastor Nolasky, say, man, Pastor, what we going to do? What we going to do? What we going to do with your people? What we going to do? We going to expose the devil? Then we going to put the word on it. Come on, somebody. Look. Don't forget, you must pitch the old black versus the young black. The young black against the old black. Use the dark-skinned slaves against the Anthony Heavy and Cora Malone type slaves. Now, listen, for those who don't know, that is still going on. All it's self-regenerating. Listen, I'm telling you. If our European brothers and sisters, listen, the shade of black is a big deal in the black community. Yeah. It's not in Philly because we have been delivered. You understand what I'm saying? But in some areas, they actually take the paper bag out. And they check you before they let you in the house. You see, okay. Oh, you close, Omar. You close. But your eyes going to get you in. You're going to get it. Yeah. Now, a lot of people dispute whether the Willie Lynch letter is correct or not. Listen. Like I always say, Parker, you can know when something is true if you can still see the effects today. You understand what I'm saying? That's how we know it's true. And we can still, oh, yeah, it's true. Oh, yeah, it's true. Because that's what's going on. Oh, Pastor, you got to hurry up. But, Lord, it's so good. Lord, I just, man. He said, you must use the female against the male and the male against the female. Why all of our music say that about our women like that? Why our music teaching us not to love and cherish our queens, but to treat them like, what's up with that? You know, and it's the same on the women's side. Oh, he ain't nothing yet. Willie Lynch say, gentlemen, these kits are your keys to control. Use them. Have your wives, children use them. Never miss an opportunity. My plan is guaranteed. And the good thing about this plan is that if you use it intensely for 1 year, the slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful of one another. Ooh, woo! I talk about envy tonight because it's been sown in our community. And it's time for us to stop. It's the reason we don't go to one another's businesses. It's the reason why the foreign store make all the money and the brother got his little store, he don't make no money. Is the reason why, amen, I heard a story, Heavy was telling me a story about a good brother he knew owned a grocery store. Everybody was coming to his grocery store. He bought his wife a car, a Lincoln Continental. Them brothers saw that going into that store, saw that big car, look at that brother and said, nah, brother, you ain't getting rich off of us. And I saw it when I was practicing law. I had brothers I went to school with, G-Money. Now, I got the same law degree as William G. And all them other boys. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to make it happen. I don't even want all the money. I'll give you a bigger cut off the deal when I settle it. We're going to do it like boys in the hood. Homeboy get hit by coke. Now, he coming to me for every other little thing. Pastor, Mr. T-Boy, I need a notary. You know, okay, $15, $10. Take this one for free. All the little knick-knack stuff. Oh, yeah, I'm having trouble with my baby mama. All the knick-knack stuff. And you do the knick-knack stuff in hopes that when they get something big that they're going to come tell you. So I'm just buying my time. It's going to happen. I'm going to work. Anything they ask me to do. If they ask me to go paint their house, I'm going to go up in there. Because when the big one come, I'm coming for the big one. That brother get hit by coke. You understand what I'm saying? Guess where that brother went? Yeah, you know. I got so mad at that brother, big brother. We sitting in the house at a dinner and everybody having a good time. I'm just looking at them, brother. And I told him something about it. I let him have it. I said, man, what's wrong with you, man? All right. That was personal. Let me get back to the message. Man, the time rolling. All right. So yeah. You'd be surprised though. Listen, to our European brothers and sisters. Listen to this. Y'all gonna trip out after this. I'm inviting y'all in to the black community here for a second. Welcome to Negro Land. You see, there's some blacks that won't even come to a black church. I'm telling you. Oh, no, I ain't going to know. We going to sow that envy, that distrust. G-Money, y'all laughing over there, G-Money? I'm telling you. They walk in and say, he the pastor? This thing runs. All right, come on. We got to keep moving. Let's go to B. Oh, man, listen, we're going to go fast. Don't worry. It ain't going to be too long. All right. I got to listen. B, the reasons why we should not envy. The first reason is that envy hurts everyone, y'all. It hurt everybody. It hurts the object that it's aiming at. When you're envious of somebody else, it's going to hurt them. Look what the Bible says about it in Proverbs 27:4. It says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? And what the Bible is saying is that you would rather deal with a person that's angry at you. You would rather deal with a man who is in a fit of rage coming at you than have to deal with somebody who's envious of you. That's how bad envy is. All right? And the reason is because, listen, number one, When somebody mad at you or they rageful, you can look at them and see, uh-oh, it's trouble. I'm either have to fight or flight. Something gonna go down here. All right? You can look at it. It's easily discernible. But when somebody is envious of you, remember, envious under the skin. And you can't even tell. They're your enemy, want to stab you in the back. Jonadab want to set you up. Hallelujah. So you can get killed and you would never know. That's why the Bible says you'd rather somebody angry at you or you deal with somebody wrathful than to have an envious friend, brother, or sister, a Judas that's going to stab you in the back. You see what I'm saying? Another reason why that you'd rather deal with somebody anger, rageful, is that anger and rage can be appeased. You see what I'm saying? A soft answer turns away wrath. And so they coming at you wrong and stuff like that. Oh, I'm going to get up. And you say, look, brother, look. I'm good, man. I don't want no trouble, man. It was a mistake I made. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to the cold cup stand and see if we can get us a cold cup, man. And we can... Come on, I'm going to even flip your cold cup for you, man. And no matter how big that brother is, that brother's going to be like, all right, cold cup. Yeah. But after my cold cup is on, you see, anger can be appeased because you can always apologize for a wrong or perceived wrong. Envy can't be appeased. It can't be appeased because you ain't done them wrong. You don't even know what's wrong. You just trying to live and be you. So that's why you'd rather deal with somebody that's angry, because you could go to them and say, John, I'm sorry. But if they mad at you just because you're blessed, what can you do to solve that? You can't solve that. That's why it's saying, listen, it's a bad thing. It hurts people. Who could stand before it? It not only hurts the objects of envy, but it hurts the envious vessel itself. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:30, it says a sound heart is life to the flesh. Meaning that our mental, emotional, and spiritual vitality is also good for our physical health. The way we are spiritually, mentally, amen, and emotionally, amen, hallelujah, is life to the body, it says. All right? And we know this. We know that sickness is a spiritual thing, amen? That's why we lay hands and we say the name of Jesus and things happen, amen? And that's why we know that before sin entered into the world, there was no sickness. That's a spiritual correlation between sin and sickness. Anybody hear me up in here? And usually if you are right on the inside, you're going to be all right on the outside. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? But the Bible goes on to say about envy. Listen, envy is not right on the inside. It says, but envy is as rottenness to the bones. You could look good on the outside, but when you're really envious of somebody, it's something eating away on the inside of you. You see what I'm saying? And I believe that Solomon's way saying, if we don't deal with this thing can actually produce sickness in us. You know, it can actually produce sickness in us. It's not good for the people we aim our envy at, and it's not good for the one that's being envious. Amen. Envy is carnal. That's why it's bad. It's of the flesh. In 1 Corinthians 3:3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And Paul's talking to the church here. Paul's saying, Corinthian church, y'all got division and strife and beef, and y'all jealous of one another. Y'all, a church that's walking in the flesh, y'all carnal. Envy is not only carnal, envy is from the devil. The Bible says in James 3:14, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. I love that. James is saying if you got it in your heart, don't boast about it and don't lie about it. You got to be real and say if it's in there or not. He said, lie not against the truth. But going deeper, he says in verse 15, this envy, this wisdom, descended not from above. It don't come from God. It's earthly. It's sensual, meaning unspiritual. And it's also devilish. Envy comes from the devil. Say it with me. Envy comes from the devil. Pastor, how you know? He's the father of envy. He's the father of envy. Just like he's the father of lies, he's the father of envy. What do you mean by that? Well, the first instance of envy in creation was Satan. That's the first instance that we have. It's Satan. He looked up, amen, in Isaiah 14, and he begins to talk about God's inhabitants. Or how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Look at this. Look at verse 13. He says this, for thou hast said in thine heart, that's where envy is, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. In verse 14, he says this, get more clear. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. It was envy. It was envy. He wanted what God had. And that envy, my friends, when we feel it inside of us, is because of him sowing it there. Is him sitting outside that house, amen, hallelujah, while you're looking at stuff, and he just shooting those darts at you. You see? Yeah. He's the father of envy. And because of envy, the envy destroyed him, and it is envy that has him destroying all creation. You know? He's a very envious creature. And as he watches us have fellowship with the same God that he had fellowship with, as he watches us worship the same God he was created to worship, as he watches us, amen, accept Christ and be lifted up, made a little lower than the angels, but be lifted up and seated above principalities, powers, and rulers, that envy burns within him. He not only hates our creator, but he hates the object of our creator's love, and that's us, amen. That's what he hates, friends. And it's an envy. It's an envy. That's how wicked envy is. That's how it'll take you down. Bring you from the heights of heaven, second in command only to God, all the way to the depths of the bottomless pit of hell. That's envy, my friends. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Envy produces every evil work. What do you mean by that, Pastor? If you have it in your heart, if you're not careful, there's nothing that you will not do. Envy will pull anything out of you. The Bible tells us in James 3:16, for where envy and strife is, there is two things, confusion and every evil work. That's why you can't have envy in your family. That's why when you spot it out in your kids and you see a jealous tendency, a tendency to want something that others have, a tendency to be mad, amen, when other people get stuff. Listen, you whipping for them spilling milk, that's what you need a whip for when you see that envy that's in their heart. You got to root out that foolishness that's in there. You see what I'm saying? Because a foolish child, an envious child, make an envious parent, an envious adult. Oh, God, help me, somebody. You got to root that out. It brings confusion in your family, confusion on the job, confusion in a church. You can't have envy in it. It brings confusion in every evil work. Think about that every evil work for a second. Think about the examples that we told you about, how Rachel hated her sister because of envy. How, hallelujah, Moses had to go through a coup d'etat nearly because of envy. How Joseph's brother sold him into slavery because of envy. How Cain murdered Abel because of envy. How the Pharisees tortured and crucified our Lord because of envy. Envy produces just not a few evil works. It has the propensity to produce every kind of evil work. Once it's in your heart and it's in there, and you allow it to just take root in there, and it speaks to you at night, and it balls up that bitterness and that hatred. Or it'll have you stealing, it'll have you killing, it'll have you destroying. Just like the father of it does. Come on, give God some glory for that revelation. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to move on to the third and final point to get you out of here. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Brother Brent, did you get that slide before that I can run through right quick? And you'll see it. I'm going to just run through it right quick. Envy will produce competition, resentment. It destroys relationships, and it destroys our gratitude to God. And later on, maybe when we get into it again, we can talk about envy and talk about those things, because you don't want competition. My brother that's gone, Red, Rob, He had a saying. I used to love it, man. It didn't make no sense, but we're going to just stay and still say it, amen. Most of the things he said didn't make no sense. He said this. He said, I'm not the competition. I'm the competitor. Y'all remember he used to say that? And we'd be like, Red, what are you saying? All right? I still can't tell you it makes sense. But what I'll do is I'll cut it in half for you. All right? When you got a situation and somebody envious of you or you're seeing that, you won't tell them, I'm not the competition. And just leave it at that. I'm not the competition. I'm your brother. I'm your sister. I am not the competition. It's like the game of golf, you know? We don't really play golf against the other players. We play against the course. You see what I'm saying? That's the game of golf. We play against the course. And the best golfers, amen, can focus on the course and not the other golfers. You see what I'm saying? It's like a race, you know, when we run and, you know, when you start looking to the side and looking back, you lose speed, all right? What I'm saying is play against the course. What I'm saying is run your race. What I'm saying is when they want to play that game, that high school game or who got more and this and that, when they want to bring that to church, don't allow that. Look them dead in the eye and say, listen, I'm your brother, I'm your sister. I am not your competition. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna redeem Red saying, amen. I'm not, somebody say with me, I'm not the competition. That's right. That's right. We're not competing against each other. I want to help you. Because I know when you get up, amen, you're going to help me. You understand what I'm saying? When I get down. All right, listen, come on, we got to move. Boy, y'all holding me up tonight, y'all. Let's look at our last point about envy. Remember, Jonadab was. He was filled with it. He was infested with it. It was running through his blood. He would bleed green envy, I'm telling you. And you'll see it. You'll see it. You'll see it. When we get to it, you'll see it. You see? He had it bad, man. Let's talk about the remedies of envy, and then we're going to leave. First thing, like always, how do I get rid of envy? You got to make sure you're saved. Until you're saved, you really don't have the instruments and the tools to really fight this thing. You'll never be victorious over it. You see? The envy that you feel could be a sign that you're not saved. All right? It could be. I'm not saying it is. Because as we shall see, us as Christians have our struggles as well. But there's somebody in here, you got a real chronic problem of envy. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:11, he that hated his brother is in darkness. And it's a good sign that, amen, we hadn't been brought to the light just yet. And we just don't want our brother to be blessed like that. And so what we have to do, we got to go back to the cross. We got to admit that we sinners. We got to believe in Jesus Christ, his cross, his burial, his resurrection. We got to say, Lord, save me a sinner. And we got to confess him as our Lord. And the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm praying tonight that somebody see a pattern with their grandmother, their mama, and it's on them right now. And they can even see it in their children. I'm going to tell you something that a wise man told me a long time ago. He told me, Omar, he said, we got to learn how to break the cycle. We just got to break the cycle. And he was lost, and I was lost, and we sitting in the car, and he telling me that I'm going to break this. I don't know what he's talking about. He don't know what he's talking about. It's like one of those Red quotes again. But now I know it wasn't him that was talking to me. And I'm trying to tell you, like he told me, we got to break this cycle of jealousy and envy in our people. Until we unify, we can't unify with nobody else. Until we get right, we can't come to the table with nothing. Listen. That's why when the other races pull up black leaders, it be the worst of us. I saw one in the news the other day, a preacher. I'm not even going to talk about it. It made me sick to my stomach. But the reason why the other races pull from charlatans is because we have not unified and called out who our leaders are. You see what I'm saying? They looking for somebody to work with, but we ain't unified and gave them nobody to work with. You know why we ain't gave nobody to work with? Because we got too many chiefs and no Indians, and nobody want to be under nobody. Everybody want to be the head. So everybody like, I'm... We just got to get ourselves right, man. This is just one of our problems as a people. You know? Not only salvation prayer. After you're saved, you begin to pray. And you pray against envy in your heart, but you also pray for the things that you want. I love what the Bible tells us in James 4 and 1. Look what it says. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Why y'all always beefing like that? Why we got Tupac and Biggie beefing? Why we got Shaq and Kobe beefing? You know what I'm saying? You don't see no country singers getting up or East Side, West Side. Why we beefing like that? What is wrong with us? That two black folk can't be successful without trying to tat on one another. What is wrong with us? Look what he said. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even from your lusts that war in your members? There's something going on the inside of y'all, he's saying. He said, your lusts and you have not, you kill. In the Greek, that kill is envy. You envy and desire to have and cannot obtain. You're fighting your war, but you only have not because you ask not. Whoever the devil tempting you to be envious of, don't be envious. Don't be envious. Be prayerful. Go to the prayer closet and look. Use them as evidence. Father, you said you no respecter of person. And what you give to them, you give to all of us. Now, Father, they got the truck I want. They got the car I want. They got the house I want. Father, she got that Brazilian weave, and I've been saving all my life for that. She's shaking that hair around church. Father, I'm tempted. Give me that hair, Father. You told me if I be faithful. If I be faithful in little, you'll make me faithful. Oh, y'all cutting up tonight. He said, you have not because you ask not. Yeah. So you got to make sure you're saved. You got to pray. Just ask him. Ask and thou shalt receive. Not only that, you got to get in your word. Get in your word. You got to read your word. When you get in that word going to wash that envy out of you. We see a direct mention of it in 1 Peter 2:1. Peter says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. What do we do, Peter? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You can grow out of envy. You can grow up out of it. You can. You know, that's the stuff we used to do in high school. You can grow up out of that spiritually. And look at people and say, man, listen, you know, I'm not your competition, man. I just want to be blessed. In fact, I want to see you blessed too. All right? You can grow up out of that. And the way you grow up out of that is spending time in that word. Reading every day and studying to show yourself approved. Amen. Come on, let's bring it home. Let's bring it home. Let me give you another one. Love. This is another remedy. Love. 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 You see, what the Willie Lynch letter did and what he did, amen, they took the love away from us. They took the love from us. And I'm talking about it for the Hebrews, because we mostly Hebrews up in here, but you know, there's other churches that's got that envy in it. And if you can use it, great, you know? But I'm telling you, man, they did a transfusion on us, man. They took the love out and they put the envy in, you know? But I thank God we can get another blood transfusion tonight. That we can get his love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I thank God for that. You see, when we love one another, we're not going to be envious of one another. No. True love, agape love, amen, don't want from nobody. True love wants for somebody. True love want to see everybody blessed. True, man, we just need to get back to loving one another. You see, I'm telling you, I love what Romans 13, 8 says. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Look what he says. And if there be any other commandment, anything else you want to do to please God, I'm going to go ahead and throw envy right there. Because God don't want us to envy. I'm going to go ahead and throw envy right there. If there be any other commandment, look what he tells us. It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Because love worketh no ill to his neighbor. I don't want to hurt you at all. I don't want to hurt you at all. You see? Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Envy is a love problem. It's a love problem. When you're jealous of somebody, it's a love problem. And you got to get on your knees and you got to say, God, they messed me up when I was young. And somebody didn't teach me the right way. And because of my own insecurities, my inferiority, or my discontented heart, I need you to fix me, God. I don't want to be jealous or envious anymore. I want to love them like you told me to love them, God. I want to rejoice when they rejoice. I want to weep when they weep. I want to celebrate when they celebrate. Hey, when they get it, I want to dance like I got it. First Corinthians 13, 4. Look, we're winding down. Pastor, you've been winding down. This is the last winding. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Charity suffereth long. Love is patient. And is kind. Love is kind. Charity envieth not. Love is not jealous, friends. You see? I want you to turn to your neighbor on your left side. That's this side. And I want you to tell your neighbor, neighbor, I love you. And I want to see you blessed. Now come on, turn to your right side. That's this side. And I want you to say, neighbor, I love you. And I want to see you blessed. In Jesus' name. Come on, give him glory. Come on, give him glory. Brent, put all of them up. I'm gonna give you some more that you, and I want you to go study. But we ain't got time. I want you to go study. Look, study, trust God with envy. Because when it comes to trusting God, you gotta understand that God got a timing for your life. You mad you ain't got the house, it's not time for you to get that house. You want a different season. You gotta trust God. And if even God said no, you still got to say praise the Lord. Because you ain't going to have a bigger house than everybody. Somebody going to have a bigger house than you. And you got to say, God, you sovereign. You could do that. You trust God. Look another one. Look downward. What you mean by that, Pastor? The problem with envy is that we're looking upward. We're looking at people that got more than us and we're jealous. I mean, they got a bigger car. They got a bigger house. They got a bigger. Stop looking upward. Look downward. What I mean by that is begin to look at the people that have less than you. Begin to look at the people who don't have a car, who don't have a house, who don't have a husband, who don't have a... You understand what I'm saying? Stop looking at people that's further along than you and look at people that's behind you. And it's going to put on your spirit of gratitude. Oh, God, thank you for where I'm at. I'm not where I ought to be, but I'm not where I used to be. And I give you glory. Now, I just say I was just going to put them up there, but I'm preaching. But listen, max out. You're jealous of other people because their life looking like something. But you need to max out. You need to go get it, man. You need to go get it. You sitting in bed, hanging on the corner with your pants sagging, you got nerve to be jealous. What you jealous for? You can go get it too. Be confident. Be content. And remember, no shame. No shame. Don't be ashamed about it. Look. Look. Don't be ashamed. We all feel it. Pastor, I'm having a little trouble today. Don't worry about me. You know, no shame. No shame. We all do it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Y'all, I think that just about does it. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Brent, go ahead and put on my song, Brent, and then we're gonna walk out of here and pray. Listen, there's anybody here not saved. You just got to admit, and you just got to believe. Brent, don't put it loud, please. Not everybody like Christian reggae, so just, you know. Just if you're not saved in here, admit that you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection. Confess him with your mind, he's going to save you tonight. You can put it on. That's good right now. Just pray with me right now. Say, God, thank you for loving me. I admit I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died for all my sins. You were buried in a grave, and on the third day, you rose. Lord, save me, a sinner, and use me. And Father, take envy completely out of my heart. Let it plague me and my people no more. Help us to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give him glory. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's that Christian reggae. Look, you can do a little step to that.
Love, love, all we need is love. Love, love, all we need is love. Emmanuel is the King of love.
Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. Yeah,